Well, Walmart's share prices took a tumble yesterday, falling nearly 5% after our partner, The New York Times, reported over the weekend that the company tried to cover up evidence of widespread bribery in its Mexican operations. So you have both the bribery and the cover-up. Both the Justice Department and the Securities and Exchange Commission have opened probes into the retail giant. That's in addition to an internal investigation Walmart is itself conducting. Now, the allegations pose some major business hurdles, and they also may require Walmart to rethink its approach to global markets. You sense that we're probably only at the start of this story, and that's why we have the next two experts on the line with us now. Charles Fishman is author of The Walmart Effect. He recently moved to Mexico City with his wife, and he joins us now. Charles, hello.
Good morning.
And also with us, Peter Henning, professor at Wayne State University Law School, focuses on white-collar crime, corporate and securities law, and legal ethics. That makes you the perfect person for this story, Professor.
Thank you, Todd.
Let me start with you, Charles Fishman. You know Walmart inside and out. In fact, you lived in Arkansas near Walmart headquarters before moving to Mexico. Is that right?
No, I've spent months living in Bentonville, but we were based in Philadelphia while I was writing the book.
All right. Well, you've lived in Bentonville longer than the rest of us anyway, so you know the corporation probably as well as anyone. Look, we've gotten a good sense of what went on with Walmart in Mexico, but just how far do these allegations go in sort of contradicting the culture and the image and the reputation that Walmart has tried to cultivate here?
I think that's why they're so stunning. Walmart really had grown up with the founder, Sam Walton, with an incredibly rigid, almost obsessive ethics policy. You couldn't take anybody at Walmart to dinner. I actually met Lee Scott, the CEO, at one point a couple years ago and gave him a copy of the paperback of The Walmart Effect, and he whipped out a $20 bill and handed it to me. And so there was this incredible culture of we don't take anything from anybody and we don't provide anything to anybody. We decide what's good for the business based on what will be good for our customers and what will be good for Walmart. Brutal competitor, but no money changed hands. And the New York Times story was incredible, beautiful piece of work in many ways. There's one little data point in there. The New York Times reviewed records for 3 years of bribe payments, and Walmart was issuing 3 bribes a week at one point for 3 years in a row. So that's just a way of doing business. That's not an aberration.
And we're going to talk about that way of doing business in just a second, because I want to talk to you about Walmart's expansion outside of the United States and what that might mean for the cost of doing business. But Peter Henning, let me play a clip from you from a guest we had yesterday, Ben Heineman. He's a senior fellow at Harvard Law School. He was talking about what kinds of legal consequences Walmart may face under the law in the United States.
It's enforced by the Department of Justice in a criminal sense. The SEC can bring civil cases on books and records, and both companies and individuals can get sanctioned under the law.
Now, Peter Henning, I'm a little less interested in what kind of sanctions Walmart as a corporation might face versus what kind of criminal charges or sanctions individual executives might face in this case. What's the potential here?
Well, there certainly is the potential because the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act has a criminal component to it, as do a number of the other securities laws. The problem that the Justice Department is going to face is under the statute of limitations, which for federal crimes, FCPA crimes, is 5 years. And at least under the Times story, these allegations of bribery were 2003 to 2005. So it's going to be difficult to bring charges on that. There's a possibility that charges could be brought for a conspiracy or any type of obstruction of justice if that happened from about late 2006, early 2007 on. But it may be that charges against individuals aren't going to be possible, at least for the Mexican bribery. But, of course, there's always the possibility of the cover-up.
And does the statute of limitations apply to the corporate side of this?
It does apply to the corporate side, but Walmart is required to file financial statements every year, and those have to include the previous 5 years. So what one ground for a charge would be that if the company didn't report these bribes properly, and no company ever does,
right.
and that would end up possibly being a basis for a criminal charge.
And that's all discoverable, clearly. Well, Charles Fishman, you talked about the cost of doing business in other countries outside of the United States. And I want to talk about that because Walmart is expanding rapidly into a lot of other countries besides the U.S. We talked about Mexico. South Africa, I believe, is an example. China, perhaps. You'll correct me if I'm wrong. There are a lot of other countries where Walmart is expanding. And here's my question, and I'm asking you to speculate, and I apologize for that, and you can knock it down if you want to. It makes me suspect that this might be the beginning of a story that has an American corporation that has good ethical practices at home realizing that overseas in other countries and other cultures that bribery is a cost of doing business and they pay that cost.
Well, they aren't as Professor Henning points out, they aren't allowed to decide that. Let's be clear about two things. It's illegal in Mexico to do what Walmart did. Whether it's quote-unquote common, you know,
right?
We all drive at 79 miles an hour in the 70-mile-an-hour speed limit. What they did in Mexico is illegal. They paid officials in Mexico, apparently, money to them personally to perform their official duties, and that's illegal. That same practice is illegal in the United States because U.S. corporations are not permitted under U.S. law to bribe officials in foreign countries. The question you raise is really good. What you wanted was for Walmart to take its ethical code and create a halo of doing business the right way everywhere they went. What's interesting is that instead of Walmart changing the culture of Mexico, it appears that Mexico changed the culture of Walmart, at least in Mexico. And it immediately raises the question, how does Walmart do business in Central America, in Brazil, in
South Africa, China, right? Charles Fishman, stay with us. And Peter Henning, you stay with us too. We're going to take a short break and have you both back in just a minute to continue this discussion on Walmart and its alleged bribery behavior in Mexico and investigations therein. We are back with Charles Fishman, author of The Walmart Effect, a book on the culture of Walmart, who's recently moved to Mexico, and also with Peter Henning, professor at Wayne State University Law School, who focuses on securities law and corporate governance. Charles Fishman, I want to come back to you because you have spent time in Bentonville. You're a person who understands the culture there, and that culture clashes directly with what we think we know about Mexico. Describe, if you will, a little bit about what it's like to do business with Walmart. Companies have to set up shop in Bentonville. They have to be present. They don't do things over conference calls. What's it like there?
Well, Bentonville is a modern version of the company town. It's actually a very small town. There's the population of Bentonville is 25,000. It's an old community, but most of it is brand new. It looks like it was put up last week. And you drive around Bentonville, and all of the shopping centers and strip malls and office parks have logos of the great American corporations: Levi Strauss, Campbell's, Kellogg's, Procter & Gamble, Kraft. Procter & Gamble has 300 people just south of Bentonville. 300 people. You could run a whole corporation with 300 people who do nothing but service Walmart for Procter & Gamble products. And so you need to be at Walmart's beck and call. And at the same time, as I said, you can't even take somebody you do business with at Walmart out to lunch. They drive the train. And so it's a little looser now, but when I was flying in there to write the book, you would be on a commuter jet into Bentonville, Northwest Arkansas Airport. No one spoke to anyone on the plane because you had no idea who anyone was. And Walmart's rules were such that you didn't want to be caught or overheard talking about anything in a way that would lose you business.
It sounds to me that these types of allegations of bribery in Mexico would rock a culture like that. Not only in the halls of the corporation, but in a town like that.
I think I have not obviously been to Bentonville in the last 2 days. I think that this is going to really shake Walmart's culture in two important ways. One is this is not the way the company is supposed to do business, and it's written down everywhere, and people go through this way of doing business all the time, every day. It's become an instinct. And second of all, the current senior leadership of the company is alleged to have known about these practices and then contrived to suppress them. And I think that will shake faith in Mike Duke, the current CEO, Lee Scott, who actually did a beautiful job helping Walmart evolve, was also known, and Eduardo Castro Wright, in charge of Mexico. In the story, you know, the kind of leader of this kind of practice was a legend in Walmart. And I think this is going to shake a lot of confidence in that leadership.
All right, Charles Fishman, let me stop you there because I want to get a quick question to Peter Henning. You heard about the culture there, Professor Henning, in Bentonville. Statute of limitations notwithstanding, are we going to see video shots from Bentonville of executives doing the perp walk over this?
I don't think so, because the Justice Department is going to focus on the company and not really on the individuals unless they were actually paying bribes.
Yeah.
So I doubt we'll see perp walks, but you know, I've been wrong before, too.
And you've said that the statute of limitations may protect many of the executives responsible for this. That's Peter Henning, professor at Wayne State University Law School. We're also joined by Charles Fishman, author of The Walmart Effect, living in Mexico City, talking about allegations of bribery across Walmart in Mexico. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.